Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer. We had 23 in Sunday school this morning. Continue to encourage everyone to participate. We have classes for all ages, and I know that God's Word is being taught, and we also have a good time of fellowship in all our classes and all. So I want to encourage you to attend Sunday school. Annie Armstrong Easter offering will be taken up throughout the month of March. Starting next Sunday, we'll have the envelopes out and things like that. March the 10th, daylight savings begin. So we're giving you a heads up. Remember to set clocks. Remember to set clocks ahead 1 hour before bed, March the 9th. So please mark your calendars for that. Tonight, the Valdosta State University Baptist Collegiate Ministries will be with us for the evening service. We will take up a love offering tonight to help with their summer mission trips. We'll hear more about that tonight through Send Me Now. We'll have a time of food and fellowship after the service. So please come back tonight and invite people to maybe come and hear these college students and all talk about their mission trips and what they are doing at Valdosta State University. For the love offering, if you will make out your checks to Wiggum Baptist Church and just designate it, Send Me Now, we'll know that it'll go to that ministry. If it's cash or something, you can just write it, put it in one of the given envelopes and just write on there, Send Me Now, and we'll make sure it gets to that specific ministry. Any other announcements, y'all? No? Any birthdays? If not, before we go to the Lord in prayer, we certainly want to remember the Berther Alma family and her passing and all, and continue to lift Sissy and Terry and the whole family up in this time of loss of Miss Bertha. Also, Martha Beeman, that's Larry's sister. She's having surgery tomorrow. So continue to remember her also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day and this opportunity to come and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, I do just pray for the Homer family this morning, Lord. Just be with them and continue to comfort them, Lord, in the loss of Miss Bertha, Lord. And we know you will, Lord. For Larry's sister, Miss Beeman, Lord, we want to lift her up to you today as she is also facing some surgery tomorrow, Lord. We know that they are concerned about some complications, and Lord, and all, Lord, but we're just going to put this situation in your hands, Lord, and just pray that she will recover from the surgery and it will help her, Lord. Lord, I do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he leads us and proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come, Lord, with hearts willing to not only listen, Lord, to what God has to say to us today, Lord, but not to just pass it off, Lord, but to be faithful and to be obedient to it, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for tonight, Lord. I pray for the special service tonight, Lord. I pray for these young college people as they'll come tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for the ones that are willing, Lord, to go out, Lord. We all should, Lord, to go out and share the gospel with whoever we can. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, Sissy called this morning and said she was not going to be able to make it. With passing of Miss Bertha, there's some things going on, but we want to certainly keep them in our prayers. But we're here this morning to worship our Lord. And as we sing this morning, it's going to be on the screen. It's not going to be in, we're not going to look at the hymnal because the words on the screen might be different than they are in our hymnal. We don't want to get that confusion going on. But as you sing this morning, sing from your heart. The words are beautiful. Unless all stand. And the first hymn is, we have come into his house to worship him.
Of my
He had fled for me in glory, and I heard loud the screech of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Father God, we come to you today just thanking you for the way you bless us and take care of us, Lord. We thank you for this service today, Lord. We thank you for this point of the service, Lord, where we come to offer the fruits of our labor to you, Lord, and to ask that you would use it to further your kingdom, Lord. And we just thank you for everyone that gives, and we thank you that it'll be used to your ongoing glory. In Christ's name, amen.
If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 15. Last Sunday we looked at the parable of a lost son, a prodigal son, a loving father, or whichever parable you decide to call it. But I want to go back this morning and we're going to reread. Verses 11 through 24 to set the stage of what we're going to look at today, which is the last part of the parable. And so I'm going to go ahead and just read it, and then we'll jump right into our passage this morning. Look with me, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 says, "Then he said," meaning Jesus said, "a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with pods that the swine ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The part I'm going to look at this morning is what we're going to read next. And that is here in verses 25 through 32. Because I think you can't do justice by preaching this whole parable in one sermon. Because we find a lost person who is living out in the world and doesn't realize how good he has it with God, as we looked at last Sunday morning. But we also realize that sometimes even Christians can get off into far country, right? And so we realize that. But this morning, what I want us to look at is the older brother syndrome. Or you can call it older sister syndrome. Last week's sermon was more for maybe the lost or the ones who had gone astray. But the sermon this morning is for those of us who are here. Okay? And so as we read this, I want us to ask ourselves the question. But don't ask yourself, because we're known to lie to ourselves. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to your heart if there is any wicked way within you, within me, within us. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us if we have the older brother or older sister syndrome. Let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 15. Verse 25 says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the older brother was angry. It would not go in. Therefore, his father came out to him and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, and you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you just, Lord, clear my heart, my mind, my thoughts this morning. Lord, that we all would be able to see and hear from you. Lord, help us not to be distracted by the things of this world, but Lord, help us to examine our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Lord, to number one, see if we're in faith. Lord, number two, to see if we need to confess our sins. And Lord, help us to realize that we don't need to be like the older brother. Lord, that we need to be like the loving father who welcomes his children home, no matter where they've been or what they've done. Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's not too hard to see ourselves in the younger brother, right? Because at some point in time, unless you were just a really, really good kid, you've been in the pig pen, so to speak. You've been in the world. You've lived things. You've done things. You've drank things. Maybe you've smoked things. I don't know. But you have been somewhere where you realize that this, what the world has to offer, is not any comparison at all to what God the Father has for us. And maybe you have came home to the Father and you have asked for forgiveness, and He has welcomed you in with open arms, gave you all the rights, all the blessings, just as if you had never even left. That's how much God loves the prodigal. Amen? But can I tell you, in this passage that we're looking at this morning, God doesn't just love the prodigal who leaves and comes home. He loves the child that's been there all along. But just because you might have been there all along doesn't give you or me the right to look down on somebody else and judge them. It doesn't give us the right to be angry because God loves that person also. Well, we need to realize that God has a plan and purpose for every single thing. And just because we've been faithful in serving God doesn't give us the high horse, so to speak, to look down on somebody else. It's easy to find ourselves in a younger brother. But oftentimes we have problems seeing ourselves as the older brother does. We tend to, let me just give you an example. You know, old so-and-so, he left his wife, he left his kids, he went out, got hooked on drugs, drinking, drugs, the whole nine yards. And that joker, you know, he don't deserve to come in this church and act like nothing ever happened. You ever heard those things go on in church? You see somebody that comes in and they confess their sins to the Father. They get right with God, but then you have an older brother or sister in the back of the church and they're huddled up. And what are they talking about? Well, he's going to have to prove himself to me before I forgive him. Look at those folks over there hugging on him, tears running down his face. And he's not going to get that from me till he proves himself. You see, that's sometimes the attitude that the older brother or sister has when somebody who has gone off and got to the things of the world and they come back and repent of what sins they've committed. And they turn back to the Father. But there's sometimes people who are so judgmental that they are not willing to forgive. That is the older brother or the older sister syndrome. You see, Jesus wrote this parable to the scribes and Pharisees, or spoke to them. And he was addressing the problems with their heart, because in their heart they kept all the laws. If you wanted to find the best people of the day, all you had to do was find the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They looked the part, they spoke the part, they were taught the part. And they condemned everybody else because they were sinners, not the scribes and Pharisees. They thought themselves above that because they kept the law. But as we realize, the question comes back to, if we're the younger brother, younger son, have we realized we are sinners and came to the person in Jesus Christ who can forgive us and cleanse us and make us part of God's family? Or are we so far above that we think that nobody can live up to the way we live? Maybe we've never gone astray. Maybe we've never done anything that the world or anyone else would look at and think that that is bad. But you know, there comes a problem with people who, and I want to be careful here, I think we should all be faithful. I think when we look at the older brother, we have a lot of things we can commend him for, because he was faithful to his Father. He was a servant. He was hardworking. He did all those things. But yet, because of his servanthood to his Father, he thought he was superior to everyone else. He came to the point of his life where he thought, my father owes me. Look at all these years I've served God. Look at all these years I've tithed him. Look at all these years I've taught Sunday school. Look at all this that I've done. And Father, you've never given me anything. Amen. And you see, that's the attitude of the older brother. He's faithful. I mean, God loves a faithful servant. Amen. But he doesn't love the faithful servant any more than he does that brother that's wandering around out there in sin. Amen. And he's ready to welcome both of them back. And you know, the father even basically tells him that. Says, son, you've been with me all these years. I love you. I've got enough love for you and your brother. I've got enough love for everyone. You see, the sinfulness of the older brother was in his pride, self-righteous pride, that put himself up on a pedestal above his brother. We realize, instead of rejoicing at his brother's return, he's angry. He's hopping mad, as we would say. He is beside himself. He comes home. He's been working all day. Where's his brother been? What's interesting to me is, how did the older brother know what his younger brother been doing? You ever thought about that? How did the older brother know what his younger brother's been doing? Because my Bible says his younger brother's in a far country. Maybe he was jealous of his younger brother. Maybe it was even mad at himself because he didn't have the guts to go do what his younger brother did. He was faithful. He stayed home. He did all the things that a good child, a good son should do. But yet, he's angry that his younger brother has came home. And he's probably even more angry that his father has accepted him. Because in his mind, his brother does not deserve to be let back in the house. What his brother deserves is for his father to condemn him for his actions. You see, sometimes the older brother syndrome, the older sister syndrome in church is that same way, that God shouldn't forgive them. We love for God to forgive us of our sins, but we don't want forgiveness for others. And that's something the older brother just couldn't understand. He could not understand the grace and mercy of his father. And many times we have that same problem. We look at others and maybe look down on others. But my Bible tells me in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We're all people who need saving of God. We're all sinners who, whether it's a big sin, little sin, my Bible tells me that if you've sinned, broken one law, you've broken all of them. And if I've broken all the laws, that means I have no right to stand before God, except for in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not in my righteousness, but in his righteousness, because it is by faith that we are justified, just as if we had never sinned in the sight of God. So when I came home to God the Father, when you came to him and asked for his forgiveness, he didn't tell you no. Amen? He didn't tell you no. He told you he loved you. He fell on your neck. He kissed you. He put a robe on you and ring on your hand and sandals on your feet to say, you belong to my family. But sometimes in church, we want people. Sometimes when people leave and maybe we get our feelings hurt, we have a hard time when they return. we have a hard time receiving them back. The Father didn't have any problem receiving the Son back, did he? He didn't have any problem. But the older brothers did. The older brother had problems with his younger son coming home. And he had a just as big a problem with his father welcoming him back home. The older brother didn't focus on the younger brother's repentance. What did he focus on? He focused on his sins, right? He focused on his younger brother's sins, but the father didn't. The father freely forgave, and I know I mentioned this last week, but my Bible tells me when God has forgiven my sins, he's removed them as far as the east is from the west, and my Bible says that he'll blot them out, and he will remember them no more. But the older brother could not get past the sins of his younger brother. But the problem was simply this. Because of his focusing on his younger brother's sins, he didn't realize he had his own sins. Amen. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, and I say y'all, when I was growing up, my mom always told me, if you ever point your finger at somebody else, remember what? You got at least. Now see, my thumb don't do like most people do. Anyhow, I've got at least three fingers pointing back at me. And the theory behind that is simply this. If you have a splinter in your eye, and I've got a 2x4 sticking in mine, how in the world am I going to pick out your splinter out of your eye? Right? I can't. I have to recognize my sin. I have to put myself in that place to where, hey, I'm a sinner too. And it's easy to say, well, I've never done this and I've never done that. Thank God. Do you realize if it wasn't for the mercy of God, where you would end up? If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would you be today? When I look back at my life and realize how big a fool I was for most of it, I realize that, you know, many times God looked out for this idiot. God looked out for me. God gave me grace. God gave me mercy. He forgave me. He did all those things for me to bring me to where I am today. But without that, where would I be? If it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, where would you be? Young brother realized his mistakes. He realized his sin. But older brother just was not willing to forgive. It's interesting here because in verses 27 and 28, he calls out his dad. And he's really calling out his brother too. Because he's upset that dad's offering his son a party. And really get down to it, what was the real complaint? We'll talk about that in just a second. And these verses, that, you know, let me look at here my notes real quick. When it says here in verse 27, he said, your brother has come home, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father's killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. You see, here's something interesting, too. We don't just have a God who runs out to meet the prodigal son who's returning. He goes out to speak to the hard-headed ones, too. Which one are we? He came out and pleaded with him, so he answered and said to his father, "Oh, these many things I have, years I've been serving you, I have never is that really the truth? He has never transgressed his father. Can any of us say that honestly? So he's a liar, right? He doesn't even realize he's a liar. A transgression command any time he hits you, never gave me a young goat. He doesn't want a brother. What does he really want? He wants a goat. Look at it. He doesn't want his younger brother. He wants a goat. He wants to have a party. But here's the thing. Think about this. When the father willingly divided up his inheritance between the two sons, didn't his oldest son receive 2/3 of the inheritance? It belonged to him. It no longer belonged to the father. If the older brother really wanted to have a party, why couldn't he have thrown it for himself? It belonged to him. But then verse 30, this is really what I was trying to get back to. He's got a problem with the younger brother. And he says, but as soon as this son of whose? Of yours. He ain't my brother no more. He used to be. But he done went off, he done blown everything, and there he come back here crawling in, wanting to get back in the house. And Dad, you give him a party, and I've served you all these years. I've been faithful, I've tithed, I've done, and I've done, and I've done, and yet I've never got anything good at it. How many times that we might not say it out loud, but in our hearts, maybe we think we deserve more. But God's already given us everything through his son Jesus, if we would just stop and realize how blessed we are. But we do. We have a loving father who runs out to meet us when we return home from the far country, from living a probable life, and we return and admit our sins and confess them. He openly forgives us. As we look at the older brother, did I give you Luke 15, 1 and 2? See, this is what this whole, there's three parables that Jesus gave, and you know, parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. But here, he gives us the whole background for these three parables. It says, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to who? To Jesus. But when they did, guess who couldn't stand it? The Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. You see, Jesus is saying, listen, folks, you've got this all wrong. You can look good on the outside. You can be that faithful servant for years and years and years, and you can do good, but you've got to realize that if you're stopping somebody, you can't be grateful and thankful for a sinner that has come home. You got serious problems in your heart and my heart if we're not welcoming to those who come and receive Christ or come back to him in repentance. You see, the scribes and Pharisees were the ones that Jesus called hypocrites and blind guides and serpents in Matthew 23 verse 23 and Luke chapter 11 verse 42. Jesus said that they kept all these things, but they overlooked the most important things, which was justice, mercy, and forgiveness. They were the ones who were keeping people from coming to Christ, coming to God. You see, scribes and Pharisees had a problem of the older brother syndrome. Look at me. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at how good I am.
Look at me.
When we look back, verses 29 and 30, we see five times in Luke chapter 50, we see five times the older brother used the personal pronoun. Ain't that what they call it? I, me, my. He stuck on himself, not on his sin of pride and sin of arrogance and sin of thinking that he somehow deserves better. He wants to call out the sins of his younger son or younger brother so that his sins don't look so great. But you know what I find interesting? Because if we go back to verse 24, when the father offered up the fatted calf for his prodigal son, he makes a statement that we looked at last week. He said, "My son was dead and is alive." How many of us have been made alive through Jesus? I hope everybody. He was lost and now is found. Once we were all without Christ, but we have come to know him as our personal Lord and Savior. And it says, and they began to be merry. How can you not be excited when somebody comes to know the Lord Jesus? Amen. And if you can't get excited about that, then I suggest you need to have a heart to heart with God. Okay? And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to examine. But then as we look on down to verse 32, look at what the father tells his older son. He didn't say, "Forgive me for welcoming my son home," did he? He didn't say that. He said, "It was right. It was right that we should make merry." When you look at the widow woman who lost her silver coin, right? Remember? She sweat. Aren't you glad you don't have that much dirt in the house? She sweat till she found her lost coin. And when she did, she called all of her neighbors to do what? To rejoice with her. That one sheep that gone went astray, he left the 99 and he went after that one and got that one and he brought it back and he rejoiced over that one lost sheep that had come home. Here, Jesus is saying the Heavenly Father rejoices. And it is right that they should be merry and celebrate the fact that the younger son had came home. But the older brother. The thing is, the parable doesn't tell us why he ended up with the older brother. It doesn't tell us. We can assume, but we might assume right, we might assume wrong. But the older brother. Daddy comes out, says, "Son, we did what was right. We did what was right to welcome your brother back home." But what's going on with the older brother? Man, he's stewing. He is so mad, he is so ticked off that he could not join in the celebration. And if we ever find ourselves in that situation, we have got to have a heart-to-heart with God. You see, it's hard for a prodigal to come home. Amen. Because most of us know that once we've been out on our own, it's hard to admit we need help. Amen. It's hard. Coming home to mom or dad and confessing our sins and what we've done, where we've been, that's hard. But oftentimes it's not mom and dad that are the problem, it is our brothers and sisters in a real family and in the church family that we had problems with. The father is the one who's welcoming. Come on home, return to me and I will return to you. But at the same time, we adopt the older brother syndrome, the older sister syndrome, and we like being forgiven, but sometimes we're not willing to forgive others. But if you just knew what they did to me, what have you done to God? Did he welcome you? Yeah. We should welcome others as well. It's not God that has a problem with us, what we've done, where we've been. The problem is with each other. Sometimes we just need to learn how to be good brothers and sisters. Amen? We need to learn to be good brothers and sisters that realize that I am a sinner just like anybody else in this building today or that has ever walked through these doors. I need just as much as God's forgiveness, grace, love, and mercy as the next person does. But I also need to realize that when somebody else comes in and they need that same love, grace, forgiveness, and mercy, not only does God the Father openly give it to them, I need to give it to them too. And we all need to give it to them as well. I know this is a kind of one of those sermons that you don't like to preach it, but you know you're preaching to the brothers and sisters. So I want to leave you this thought as we go into a time of invitation is simply this. Who do you need to forgive today? Who do you need to forgive? If God the Father forgives those who come, repent of their sins. Who do we need to forgive? Who do we need to offer grace, love, forgiveness, mercy? Who is there in our lives that maybe in the past that we felt that way, but they just don't deserve? Did you deserve what God did for you? And if not, then we need to be like God and do for others what God has done for us. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you will have your way. Lord, I pray that we will be more like you. Lord, that we would see ourselves for who we are. Lord, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. None of us could ever stand before you and your throne without Jesus stepping in and offering his blood as our sacrifice. Lord, without your grace, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, Lord, none of us would stand a chance. Lord, I pray today that as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, you have already moved in hearts. And Lord, we have decisions to make. Lord, we could be loving like you, or we could be resentful like the older brother. Lord, help us to make the choice to be like you. Help us to do whatever it is we need to do to make it right between you and ourselves and us and others. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.